It might not feel like spring outside, but it is. And for sports fans, that means one thing. Baseball season is back. Major League Baseball kicked off its 2014 season this week. And while the Brewers might not be off to the hottest of starts, it's hard not to feel optimistic about a new and still wide open season.
But it's also fun to look back at some of Wisconsin's baseball history. And it turns out that for many years, the Chippewa Valley was a hotbed of promising young baseball players. Some of them would go on to be household names. In this week's Curious Wisconsin, we look at Western Wisconsin's baseball heritage and learn more about some of the greats who played ball in Eau Claire.
Joining us now is Jerry Poling. He's Assistant Director of Communications at UW-Stout and the author of A Summer Up North, Henry Aaron and the Legend of Eau Claire Baseball. Jerry, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Well, I guess for a lot of years, Eau Claire was home to a team initially called the Bears, then the Braves. What can you tell us about the team?
The Bears and the Braves played in Eau Claire Class C minor league ball from 1933 through 1962 and had some of the better teams in the Northern League throughout those years. And the Northern League consisted of teams Superior, Wausau, Fargo, Duluth, St. Cloud. It was a highly regarded Class C minor league, and Eau Claire won several pennants throughout that time and developed a number of really well-known players. And there were also a number of great players, obviously, who came through Eau Claire playing for teams throughout that league.
So how did Eau Claire, this place in northwest Wisconsin, end up having this hotshot baseball team?
Well, Eau Claire's baseball history, much like many communities in Wisconsin, goes back to the 1870s, 1880s. We had town teams here in Eau Claire for, you know, throughout the late 1800s, early 1900s, and then the minor league team just happened to develop in 1933, and eventually became affiliated with the Boston Braves, and then the Eau Claire, or then the Milwaukee Braves, in Milwaukee when the Braves moved to Milwaukee in 1953. So it's I think part of it was the town tradition, great town teams over the years, and some good players who came out of there, including one player in the Baseball Hall of Fame named Burley Grimes. Considered the last spitballer in Major League Baseball, played against Babe Ruth. He played his first minor league season, even though it wasn't professional minor leagues, in Eau Claire in 1912, I believe it was. So there's a real long history of solid town and semi-pro baseball in Eau Claire before the minor league professional teams actually came to town.
We'll name some more names in a minute, but this Northern League that the Eau Claire team was part of, was it a big minor league for people who went on to the majors? Did we get a lot of names out of there?
Yeah, there were some outstanding players who came through. Even though it was considered Class C ball, it was considered by today's standards probably closer to like a double A, because there were just a lot more minor league teams Major League teams had more minor league teams back then. So there was just and baseball was the sport and kind of the only really big sport back in the early 1900s, unlike professional football today. So any great athlete who came out of high school or college, he probably wanted to play professional baseball. So the competition at the pro minor league level was just incredibly tough. So there were lots of great minor league teams. And, some of the players who came out of there, in addition to, I'll mention maybe in a bit some of the Eau Claire guys, but Roger Maris, who broke Babe Ruth's record for home runs in one season, came out of Fargo in the Northern League. Lou Brock played at St. Cloud. Joe Pepitone played in the league. He was a future star for the New York Yankees. Don Larson, who threw the no-hitter in the World Series for the New York Yankees, came out of the Northern League. You could go through dozens and dozens of really fine players who came out of that league. And, of course, Eau Claire having Hank Aaron was a prime example of some of the talent that was in that league from 40s, 50s, 60s. And then the Northern League kind of died out in the late 60s, early 70s.
Yeah, and let's go back to Hank Aaron now. That's a huge name to come out of the league in Eau Claire. How did he first end up there?
Well, he got signed by, he was playing for the Indianapolis Clowns and got noticed by some of the scouts and got signed by the Boston Braves. And they assigned him to come to Eau Claire because it was considered a good starting point for a young player like that who had no professional experience other than just a spring with the Indianapolis Clowns. So it was really an interesting experience for Henry because he had grown up playing only with other black players in the South and on the Indianapolis Clowns team, so had never really been in an unsegregated area, really traveling with the Clowns or growing up. And then he lands in Eau Claire, this northern city that has really only, I think, one or two other black people in town at the time. He had never been that far north in his life, had never, played against a white player, had never batted against a white player. It was a completely new experience for him culturally. And then, of course, just the minor league part of it as well was he was playing professional, organized, highly organized baseball for the first time.
Do we know anything about what Hank Aaron thought about, you know, this town where he was one of, you said, two or three black people in an all-white, otherwise all-white community?
Yeah, it was, you know, he would probably tell you that it was very uncomfortable for him at first. He just felt out of place. There were two other black players on the team that year, and one of them was Wes Covington, who went on to play for the Milwaukee Braves. But, he was a shy person, he would say, and he was only 18 at the time. And when he got here, he didn't really know, you know, where he could go safely, what he could do, you know, with the segregation in the South. He was very careful about what he did. But so I think the first month was a real challenge for him, just trying to adjust to a community that was totally, totally different culturally than where he'd grown up. But then once he kind of settled in and realized the people were nice, they were going to treat him fair, and that he was actually playing well on the field and he could hit.
Yeah, what was that season like? Was he a breakaway star right away?
Pretty much. I mean, he was one of the guys that was considered to be potentially a phenom, kind of like a Willie Mays. And the Milwaukee Braves and Boston Braves scouts, actually we've been Boston Braves that year, what they would call Eau Claire every day to see how he was doing. And one of their messages was, because Hank was considered such a naturally great hitter, they said, whatever you do, don't mess with his swing. Just let him hit the way he naturally hits. So, yeah, he ended up being Rookie of the Year in the Northern League. He hit .336, made the All-Star team after being in town for a little over a month, about a month and a half. He was an eye-opener in terms of his hitting ability. He only hit 9 home runs that year, so he wasn't showing the type of ability where you would say, he's going to break Babe Ruth's home run record someday. No, he was 155 pounds soaking wet at that time. pretty not filled out, really, and wasn't a home run hitter, but an incredibly great contact hitter already. You know, he only struck out, I think it was 13 times or something the whole summer. It was just amazing. You know, he just got the bat on the ball all the time.
Do people in Eau Claire have any memory about what he was like just as a person?
Yeah, you know, people said he was shy, like, and he said that himself. He was quite shy about his surroundings, and there was a young woman that he became friends with that summer, and she would say, you know, she had to make jokes and kind of like engage him because he just wouldn't say a whole lot. He was just kind of a quiet young man and still adjusting to a different environment. Everybody said, though, that he was just a nice young man, really, you know, really friendly when you got a chance to talk to him, very hardworking on the field. His teammates loved him. You know, he was just a great player. So, yeah, I think it was really, you know, when I wrote on this book, it kind of dawned on me that really I think this was kind of that seminal summer in his life where, you know, he went from boyhood to manhood, being away from home that far away for the first time, and really getting a chance to see if he could make it on his own and make it in a strange environment. And I think it kind of steeled him for some of the challenges he would face later in his life when he was breaking Babe Ruth's home run record in terms of, can I handle a difficult situation? And I think he came out of that season saying, I can play baseball in the major leagues. I can handle things on my own. I'm on my way.
So why is the Eau Claire team, the Bears or Braves, no longer with us?
Well, most minor league teams started to falter in the early 1960s when baseball started to expand and something known as television started to become very popular in people's homes and people could watch baseball on TV all of a sudden. And minor league teams' attendance dropped precipitously in the early 1960s, and that was what happened in Eau Claire, just like many other cities. The attendance really kind of the bottom fell out of attendance for minor league baseball. In Eau Claire especially, there was prior to the 1960s, there was the only place to go see a pro baseball game was the Chicago Cubs. And all of a sudden in the 1960s, now in the 50s, you've got the Milwaukee Braves a few hours away, and you've got the Minnesota Twins now an hour and a half away or 2 hours away. So that ate into attendance as well. So it really became a money thing. The major league team didn't have enough to support all of the minor league teams. They started cutting back. And then you had fewer fans going to the games, so minor league baseball kind of dried up in a lot of towns.
Jerry, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you very much. It was great being on your show.
That's Jerry Poling. He's the author of A Summer Up North, Henry Aaron and the Legend of Eau Claire Baseball.
Coming up tomorrow on Central Time, we'll find out why we all seem to be overwhelmed in our day-to-day lives and how we can work, love, and play when we don't have the time.
The Wisconsin Film Festival began today. We'll talk with a UW grad and director of one of the films playing at the film festival this weekend.
And we'll be joined by our news guy, Noah Ofshinsky, who'll drop by to round up the state news stories of the week.
That and more coming up tomorrow right here on Central Time.